Bruce Lipton is a leading voice in new biology. He bridges science and spirit. He's a cell biologist by training, taught at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine, later performed pioneering studies at Stanford. He's the author of The Biology of Belief, and his latest with Steve Behrman, Spontaneous Evolution. You can learn more at brucelipton.com. Bruce, are you there?
I'm absolutely here and anxious to be here with you, Terrence. Thanks.
Okay. And I was looking back at when I had you on for Spontaneous Evolution a few months ago. I remember I started off by saying economic meltdown, environmental crisis, seemingly endless warfare, and we didn't even have the BP spill or the Pakistani flood. And so the world is obviously in critical condition, and I asked, is this bad news, good news, or both? And your answer?
Well, for me, it's good news because it's signaling the end of an era where we have to look at ourselves and the world that we live in a very different way, and we needed a wake-up call. And it's interesting because we had a lot of information available that we were heading down the wrong path. I mean, science has already established beyond a doubt that we are deep into the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. Five times in the history of the planet, life essentially got wiped out and started all over again. And the previous five were due to things like comets or asteroids hitting the Earth. And this one, science has recognized that we're losing species at this extreme rate right now, which is a sign of that mass extinction. But what's really interesting is that the cause is much closer to home than those asteroids because it's human behavior. And science is saying if we continue living the way we're living, the extinction will accelerate. And so it's like people, we've known about this, but until the crisis hits, people really won't do anything. So it's an unfortunate situation that crisis ignites evolution. And so we're hitting a crisis. It looks bad, but on the other hand, it's so important because this is the wake-up call that says, it's time to change the way we live on this planet.
What drew you to the event that I was talking about with Jack, this event that we've given folks thank you gifts of tickets to, which takes place? It's called Evolutionary Leaders Call to Action, August 31st at UCLA. What led you to join on that?
Well, I started to find out that I was talking about the same thing as all these other people were also speaking out in public, and each one of us had a number of people who were following our work, and we thought if we all came together, this would be a great opportunity to unify the message, because it's all the same message about an opportunity for us to make this evolutionary leap and take us from this world, which is really based on our survival, into a world that we'll actually flourish in, because we'll have a new understanding of how to live in harmony with each other and the planet.
Okay, and is one thing I didn't ask Jack, is this group of you, once you do this event, and you say we're launching this call to action, is there follow through? I mean, are you some sort of an ad hoc group that will stay together and continue to promote this?
Absolutely. In fact, we're building the number of people, the number of supporters and all this, and we're actually going to put together a university of new consciousness and new understanding with each one of the people involved participating, contributing in the development of courses and programs to help guide us, because we have the information available, but it just hasn't really come out to the public over conventional corporate media. Which is, of course, selling their image of life, which is actually the cause of what all the problems are today.
Right. And to learn more about the event and the folks, you can go to www.evolutionaryleaders.net. Okay? Evolutionaryleaders.net. And there you can learn about the event. But you can also learn, I think, even more important, is that these people have come together. As I said to Jack, the self-help is the category that you often find a lot of the books of these people, and yet what they have realized and what we all realize and what certainly is a continuous theme on my station is that we are all in this together, that justice, spirituality, evolutionary, sound evolutionary policies and sound politics with real small d democracy go together, and that these people coming together to join their forces is a positive sign for me. Let me ask you, why does it seem that so many institutions are failing at once?
Because the institutions that we have right now are built on belief systems. I mean, we design our future and plan our future on what we believe. And there are four fundamental beliefs that we built this culture on that now scientifically are found to be not just flawed, but many of them outright antagonistic to our survival. And the four beliefs are number one, our belief in a material Newtonian world, that the physical world is really primary and that the invisible world is not really relevant. It's the complete opposite of that. It turns out quantum physics says it's the energy and the invisible forces in our thoughts and beliefs and attitudes which add to that energy, which are actually creating the world. So we've missed the fact that invisible forces are coming back. It's interesting because science talks about the field. That's Lynn McTaggart, who is going to be at the...
She's been a guest on the show a couple of times. Lynn McTaggart. Yeah. Great books about the field, yeah.
Right, and the field, according to physicists, are these invisible moving forces that shape the physical world. And it's interesting because the concept of spirit is invisible moving forces that shape the physical world. And so what we're really coming to after all these years is quantum physics is returning us back to the concept of a spiritual or energetic domain as being relevant. So we have to start emphasizing how our thoughts and our beliefs and attitudes are primary to shaping the world, because that's what we have to change to create the world that we're looking for. Belief number two that is wrong is the belief that genes control our lives, and why that becomes a problem for us is because if you buy that genes control your life and recognize that as far as we know we didn't pick the genes that we came with, we can't change the genes if we don't like the traits or the potential fate, and that says all of a sudden says, oh, then we're victims of our own heredity, that we're forces outside of us are controlling us. And it turns out consciousness actually changes the reading of the genes. So when we know this, then rather than being victims, by using that consciousness appropriately, you can rewrite your own health. So we're not victims, we're actually masters, and we have to move into that direction.
Let me jump in before. So he's just dispelled two of the myths that we got from science and were helpful for a while, but have been superseded by what we now know and now are obstacles. So the first myth was that it's a material world. The second
wrong.
Myth,
wrong.
Right? The second myth was that our genes. And let me just say, I think for many people, the one that the world is energy. They've heard about that but this thing that we're not determined by our genes. That's an interesting one because I think for most people, the idea was there's a blueprint. There's a something, and it unfolds, and it turns out that is not the case, that actually the interactions of our genes with our environment, and as you say, our environment includes our mental and conscious and spiritual environment, actually affects what our genes do.
Absolutely. So that says that we were responsible for our health, but nobody gave us that information, and now it's time to take it back, because otherwise we always look at the forces outside of us controlling our fate when it's ourselves that do that.
Let me ask you one question before you get to the last two myths, just because this is there. The one thing that I, as a human being, have a problem with is I feel like if people take this information sort of the wrong way, they end up blaming themselves for their cancer, blaming themselves for their disease. How do you respond to that?
Great point. Very great, Terrence. And here's what it is. People have responsibility, or you can say blame, guilt, victim, shame, when you know how something works and you knowingly, go against the grain. If you don't know how something ever worked, we're ignorant of this whole fact. No one ever told us any of this information, and therefore we actually were going under other people's beliefs. And so just because we didn't know it, if we knew it, then I say, then all those words, guilt, victim, blame, shame, they can come into play. But being ignorant of these facts means without that education, we had no idea what was going on, and therefore those words should not apply in regard to history. But once we start to know our role in controlling our lives and our interactions with other people and the planet, once we know that and go into the future, that's when we have to start exercising responsibility. So it's really a pass on the past.
Okay, what I can get is that, you listen to this show today, And you get an inkling. You actually call in and you pick up Bruce's Biology of Belief. You read it. The day you get that information does not mean you are now guilty for everything you did before.
No,
the day you get that information gives you a map, a sense of direction for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that whole thing. Like, we have to forgive not just ourselves, everyone. No one knew how they were affecting their lives with their thoughts and their consciousness. Only at this time are we beginning to know that. So that says, again, we can't hold that against us in the past if we didn't have knowledge of it.
Bruce Lipton, the other two myths. So he said one is that reality is material. It's not. One is that genes dictate everything. They don't. The other two myths.
Okay, one of them is the belief that evolution is driven by a competition for survival in the struggle for existence. That's the Darwinian belief. It says that, and according to that belief, that evolution is driven by this constant competition and violence. And the issue is then we manifest a world that matches that Darwinian belief, and we say, yeah, that's just the way it is, when it turns out we now know that evolution is totally based on cooperation. It's a complete different perspective. And this is what we're beginning to learn right now, is that all of the people on this planet are actually cells in the body of something larger, a superorganism called humanity. And that's why it's so important for us to recognize this now, is that nature has always been cooperative. It's only humans that have gotten into the garden that destroyed the garden's harmony.
I remember when I first began to learn that a few years ago, I just remember reading that among prairie dogs, for instance, it is in their nature that a prairie dog will rise up and warn the rest of the pack when there's a predator around. Well, the prairie dog who stands up and makes noise may be the first one to go. So if he were going just for himself or herself, he wouldn't do that. But he's there for the pack. And there's something similar in all of us, right? That basically, when we misinterpret Darwin, we say it's organism against organism. But really what we're about is the survival, preservation, and thriving of our ecosystem. Isn't that correct?
Of our ecosystem and our community, because whether it's a community of cells that make up a human body or a community of humans that make up the body of humanity, evolution is based on this altruistic understanding. It's very interesting. When there are natural disasters and upheavals versus race or religious conflicts, when they're natural disasters, then you see that's where the real human comes out, because all of a sudden people are very helpful and altruistic and they'll go out of their way. And that is a built-in part of humanity. That other stuff, when we get into conflict based on material possessions or, as I said, religious differences or racial differences, this is what we've created. That's never been part of nature. So,
by the way, if people like that notion, let me just recommend another person who's been a guest on this show, Rebecca Solnit, who wrote a wonderful book called Hope in the Dark. She wrote a book called Paradise Born in Hell. And what she did was she went to, first she discovered it when she was in the aftermath of Katrina. But then she went and looked at historically what happens to communities when they undergo tragedies like that, natural disasters, that very often you hear the press talk about looting and people becoming less human and so on, when in fact what happens is, as you point out, in those situations, it brings out the best in us. It's a very interesting and a very good book. Bruce Lipton, I really thank you. Let me tell you again, he's the author of Biology of Belief and Spontaneous Evolution. Keep up the good work,
thank
Bruce.
Thank you for that opportunity, too. Thank everyone out there. Thanks.
Okay, great.